Hey, this is the Voice of the Valley, Eric Cornish, and officially you are listening to the unofficial podcast of the official Ohio Valley Wrestling. Officially.
Welcome to the OVW Podcast, the unofficial podcast of Ohio Valley Wrestling Overdrive. My name is Tiny Brian, and hey. With me as always...
And I'm Victor. How are you doing today, Tiny Brian?
I'm doing very well. Had a good lunch in Louisville yesterday that enjoyed very much.
Yeah, sure enough.
And now we're here ready to talk to you about two more weeks of Overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to decide. Do we want to keep this? I kind of like this, doing two at once. It gives us kind of a little more to talk about.
Well, I mean, it either comes down to either time or procrastination, and probably a little bit of both.
Well, we have been working. So, and we do need to mention, this is our first time recording in the new studio.
I feel like I should have wore my...
We should have wore suits.
I should at least wore my corduroy sport coat.
That's very
true. But, you know, I'm wearing my OVW hat today, so
yeah,
I'm
you could good. Go steal bronze. It's right out there.
No. I have my own sport jacket.
But yeah, so this is our first time using the new digs. Same digs, new dressing, but
yes.
It's so nice in here. And this is
it's much nicer, and I told you I'm gonna start working in here.
it is quiet.
Yes.
So yeah, let's go ahead and jump into this. Yeah.
Into the episode.
So yeah, we're covering all the action from Overdrive Season 3, Episodes 9 and 10. I will not say 8 this time, I promise. So we open Episode 9 and with another, I feel like Brian spends his whole week scribbling in a notebook trying to figure out what he's going to say about dancing Stevie J at the top of these episodes.
Okay. Oh, you're talking about Brian.
Yeah,
for some reason, I had Brian Hines in my mind. I was like, really?
He does work with us. So.
He does. Oh, you're talking about Brian Kennison.
Yes,
they
open
the show
of Overdrive.
As normal. Yes.
Yeah. And Brian says that Dance and Stevie J is the star of a reverse petting zoo.
So the pets pet him?
There was a question of what exactly a reverse petting zoo was, but that would be the horse is like good human.
The best you could hope for is a dog, maybe, or let a cat rub against your leg.
Yeah, anything else, it gets problematic.
Yeah, I would think so.
Increasing alarm.
I don't think I would like to be petted by an ostrich.
No.
You know, just saying.
So, yeah, they always are interesting.
Or even a camel, you know.
Yeah, they're always saying interesting things. And Stevie J, this episode, is dressed in his best Pepto-Bismol branded suit.
I like the way Stevie J, dresses. Both of them are pretty snazzy. Brian always has some kind of shirt. You can't quite tell what it is because it's underneath his jacket.
That is a veteran Jack Vaughn, we're looking at it right now.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that's
maybe
the
I was thinking
slap.
About the one he wears on episode 10, which we will get to.
Yeah.
But they always seem awkward to me.
Well, I think that's part of their shtick. I think that they're going for
it's
that.
It's part
kind
of Brian's shtick, but Stevie, I don't know if it's more awkward or weird.
Here's a question. Is he pretending to be, you know, more lascivious and weird than he portrays or less?
Hmm.
Like what? That's probably where it's coming from.
Haven't met him outside of wrestling, and we sat down and with lunch with Stevie J and Brian.
Yeah, the day they were on for our one interview.
One day, and that was a great day. It's still him. He just plays it up for the show, obviously. But he still is very much what he portrays, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting having them both and trying to, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a conversation.
He's an unusual fellow, but we like him, though. I like
Indeed.
Stevie J a lot. He's
yeah,
a cool,
we
he's
like
a cool
him.
Guy. We like unusual people. Look at us.
They all, yeah. I mean, so they announced this episode is all dysfunction.
Yes.
Like, all three members of the dysfunction.
I feel like we need to do the credit with dysfunction comes out and, you know.
Yeah, unfortunately, they don't know we're here, so they can't interrupt us.
That's true. So, but, yeah, the dysfunction is the feature of all three matches mm-hmm. in this episode.
And we start with the only one of them that I could have named before this episode, Brandon Espinosa.
Mm-hmm. And he takes on one of kind of, I hate to admit it, even though he has the most punchable face, Carson Drake.
Yeah. Oh, so you like Carson.
I respect his ability in the ring. He is a good wrestler.
I mean, and he is a good heel. I mean,
oh, he's a great heel. But I like heels, but he's a little. I don't like the douchey thing, the whole pushing around women and stuff. I'm not.
That is.
I'm not
true.
A big fan. I mean, be an asshole, be a jerk, and all that stuff. But you know, don't be disrespectful.
I guess I get you know.
But otherwise, I like Carson Drake, and for real, man, he is good in the ring.
Like, well,
dude can go, and he's got the look, he's got the build, and that principal face. Then you can say he has the look.
Well, I mean, he there's getting heat, and then there's dudes are waiting in the parking lot to beat you up.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's what I always say because I have that just happened. And that was just a thing that happened when I was there.
That means he's doing his job as a heel.
He surely is. Yeah. So, yeah, great match here. I wanted to – and Carson, of course, gets the win.
He does.
And
but Brandon Espinosa always puts on a good match, but he is he's a great fall guy, and I respect him a lot.
Absolutely. Good worker. And interesting thing to note, we know that Carson does have a match coming up less than a week from when this comes out.
At Double Cross.
Mm-hmm. So, and he's facing Cal Hero for the media championship.
The media championship, yes, sir.
And so when he finished off Brandon Espinosa, he very specifically used the fanny pack knee as his finishing move.
He did. I saw that, yeah.
It's like, oh, look at that. Very I'm just going to disrespect you every way I can think of. So, yeah, pretty good match. All these are all, you know, that's the thing about OVW is it's almost always just – banger of matches back to back.
No, they put on great matches. Like even the newcomers per se, you know, they get out there and they try and you see it and they're all good workers, and there's one of the funniest things recently.
Yeah, we landed in the middle of the recap of Rise from the previous week and that showed us the Golden Pussycats.
Yeah, that was probably one of the funniest things I've seen in a while.
And we will hear more from the Golden Pussycats because this episode does have the interview with Beaches and Cream. And
Luscious has been putting in great work lately.
He really has.
He has.
Second match, tell us who's in it.
So second match is Big Beef versus a newcomer, Jack Parker Jr.
Right. Famously, if you're not sure of that name just from hearing us talk about it, you may remember a match recently, Tusks and Chains took on Dysfunction. Jack Parker was the big guy who could stand toe-to-toe with Donovan Cecil.
Right. He is a big boy.
He is a large boy.
He's impressive, and he moves well.
Yeah, to be that big. Yeah. That's always what's impressive. I mean, I'm big, but, you know, can I move? Not like that.
If you would have been tall in your day, in your 20s, you could have.
Yeah, maybe.
Because you swam like a fish, boy.
I still do. I mean, nowadays I'm more Bob. Just
yeah. No, back in them days, you swam like a fish, for real. But anyway.
Yeah, so this guy, he's impressive. What do we think of the long as we're in the midst of this full Dysfunction episode.
What do I think about Dysfunction?
Yeah, do you have a strong opinion?
I think they're a great mid-card tag team. Or not a tag team at this point, they're more of a trio, but no, it's a good way to bring in guys and train them up on being a heel and, you know, being kind of the assholes. But no, they're all good workers, and this dude is impressive with that bald head and that big beard, and yeah, he's wide shouldered. Yeah, that's a big boy, and he does get around well.
I mean, and Big Beef is not a small man.
He is not.
And when you see them lock up collar and elbow, you can see the difference.
Mm-hmm, for sure. But they go back and forth, put on a great match.
Yeah, Beef is such a good worker. I really expected Beef to drop this guy.
He didn't, though.
No, he did not. Beef came up with the win. I expected with this guy we were going to be pushing him a little bit to get him some heat for Donovan Cecil, but no. Beef is the better man in this instance.
And good for Beef. I like I said before, Beef should win more. He's one of the better ones out there. And talk about a big boy that can move.
Yeah.
Beef takes ticket to nobody on that. Look at that roll and that drop kick. Yeah.
Yeah, just yeah. Offense. Yeah. It's delightful. Then we get to, and yeah, Big Beef comes up with the win there. Mm-hmm. Brandon comes up in the third match. Like, this is just a straight up wrestling match. Like, nothing happens. It's just them.
Oh, no, they go back and forth. I don't think the interference comes to
the third match. There's a little snaz, but not in this one. But the next thing that happens chronologically in this episode, after some more commercials, is the interview with
Big Daddy Nasty.
Yeah, Big Daddy Nasty and Captain Canceled.
And Omar, yeah.
Yeah, and as people who know a little bit about interview, you know, the very Stevie seems pretty uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
He did sort of dress coordinating with him. Like, the Pepto, when he sits down with them, makes more sense.
Well, he matches with Luscious a lot, though.
He does, yeah. Yeah, Omar just, you know, tends to stick to, you know, Luscious is the one who has a very much a theme in what he wears.
Well, yeah, he's Luscious Lawrence. He does the hearts and the pinks, and he's always slapping his ample ass and doing his thing. And, you know, like I said, Luscious has been one of the best workers in the company, and I think the last 6 weeks. I really do believe that, man. Some of the stuff he's come out there and done, and he's made me laugh. You know, the stuff with the coffin and
You really did like that. You know, I was pretty skeptical of that.
It was funny, and then the barroom match they did with
that was incredible.
That was impressive.
In fact, we have our trophy from that particular match right there behind us.
The pool cue, and we got a few views on our video for that. So,
the one your son did is up to almost 2 million views now.
Never did make break 2 million yet?
Not quite. But, I mean, it slows down.
No, I know, but, I mean, anything over a million is highly impressive.
Yeah, that's on all of our social feeds. If you scroll back a little bit, you'll find cash flow given Luscious Lawrence, a very special
Check that examination. Out. My kid took that. My 13-year-old son took that video. So.
Yeah, the one where you can see – there's two of them. It's the one where you can see Luscious's face.
Yes, yeah.
So, and it's shorter, and it's arguably better.
Oh, yeah.
Like I say, it has almost 2 million views. So.
It does. All right, so the third match was between third dysfunction member Kyle Roberts, and he was accompanied out to the ring by Brandon Espinoza, and to one of our favorites, printed the show, World Heavyweight Champion, Certified Luke Curtis.
Yeah, and I would just like to point out, stepping into this, that this is going to be basically a 12-minute match, 13-minute match, which is just about unheard of for Overdrive, at least as long as we've been watching it.
Well, I mean, not every match is certified, though.
No, that is true. Certification is a complicated thing to acquire.
You give him his 12 to 15 minutes.
Yeah, so we even took a commercial break in the middle of this, which is, you know, that's something you see a lot on Rise, but you just don't see it much on Overdrive.
You sure don't.
So I noted that then. And it used to annoy me, but it's starting to grow on me, the fact that Luke will start the match and still be wearing his robe. It's like, come on, Luke, take that thing off. No, it looks expensive.
No, it's not. And he's got like two or three of them, and why not? I mean, when you're certified, you can do what you want.
I do like the big blue he's wearing today, though. The blue is...
Yeah.
I just need him to start wooing or strutting.
He's not, no. I don't think he needs to woo. Luke doesn't need to do that.
I guess not. He is kind of
I won't disagree that he might develop some kind of yell, not like a Stinger yell or a Ric Flair woo, but something.
He's got a little bit of a strut he does sometimes with some of these moves, I guess.
Yeah, but that's his strut.
Yeah.
It's not the Ric Flair. Jack Vaughn does the Ric Flair strut.
He really – and that's fair because he's also from that part of the world. Aren't they both from, like, North Carolina?
Rick is. I don't know about Jack, though.
I think Jack's from North Carolina.
I thought Jack was from, like, around Cincinnati area.
I think he might be based there now, but I think he's from, I don't know. Check the interview with him. I'm pretty sure we asked him.
I think he says so, yeah. I get my interviews crossed up. Sorry about that, folks. But, I know that Ric Flair is from North Carolina, which is otherwise known as Flair Country.
Woo! One of us blew out the mics when we did that. The other one was me.
P.S. over there appreciated it.
Yeah, Malachi is now off to the ophthalmologist to get his hearing aids.
Oh, yeah, I can tell he's so interested why he's never looked up this whole time.
He's working the gauges, you know.
I know
he is.
Hey, there's our favorite upcoming show on August 31st in our hometown of Pikeville,
Now
Kentucky.
Has a name, Fight Night.
Fight Night, yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it's good. It's a... I'm going.
That should be the night that Sheamus comes and has his wad off with the human thumb. Because I know you probably don't get it, but Sheamus in his whole...
Oh, I know
Fight
Sheamus.
Night! That's his one of his things. So anyway.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but go
anyway,
ahead.
Anyway, so
that's
why
I brought it up.
Also, we didn't mention this during the main show, so maybe we should raise it here. They're going to Vegas.
I heard about that.
OVW.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to need a travel budget.
we'll see about that. But this
match. Let's get back to the match in front of us.
Sure,
because they're out of the ring. Like, I think one of the things that's been so great about Luke is he has. It feels like these matches he's been having since he took the title have been very much like, let me prove myself in this way. Let me prove myself in this way. Let me prove myself in this way.
You know what you called it. A fighting champion.
You call that a fighting champion, indeed.
And he's doing a great job at being a fighting champion.
And this time he has to deal with the dude outside. It's like each time he does a different one of these matches, there's a new kind of weird thing he has to deal with. And it's just really
impressive. It's great. He's got the youth, the vigor, the stamina to do it all, and I like watching him do it. And really, in every match, he improves somehow. As good as he is right now, he improves every match. And yeah, it's fun to watch him.
He is delightful, and it's going to be an explosive match next week at Double Cross.
And who's he fighting again, Brian? Luke Curtis versus who? You don't know, do you?
You asked me too quick. Help.
I did.
Who is it then?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Oh, well, fuck. Oh, PG-13.
Oh, PG-13. Boo-hoo. Yeah,
boo-hoo. Now,
anyway,
now
let's just move on, and it'll come to me. Who's certified Luke Curtis taking on next week over there at PS? Do you know? See, look how much he's listening to me.
He doesn't even realize he's being spoken to.
Hello, Malachi.
Earth to Malachi. Production room, do you hear us? There's no producer in there, so he's completely unhinged.
No, he's taking on one of my favorites. Superior, Hush,
yeah,
Tony Evans.
That's who he's taking on.
I told you, give me a second. Right. It'll come to me. I asked you too fast. I was hoping you would know, and I could continue on, but you failed me.
Yeah, I do that sometimes.
Sorry about that. I'm apologizing for you, apparently. He's sorry about that, folks, not me. So, so who comes away the winner in this match, Brian?
Well, of course, it was certified Luke Curtis.
That's right, so... He finished him off with the running knee match, or the move that he normally does, right?
Oh, yeah.
What does he call that? I shouldn't ask you. Sorry.
Certifier.
Oh, the certifier.
I know some things.
So every now and then.
Every now and then.
You are tiny.
I don't know what that has to do with it, but.
Well, you know.
Oh, so let's get into episode 10 without further ado.
Okay.
Somehow in this episode we get to talking about a party that Stevie has. Sometimes they confuse me, like, and apparently if you go to a Stevie party, you will leave sticky and confused. So good
been
for
partying with. Maybe he figured out partying with Beaches and Cream.
Could be. Maybe. I mean, he was there. Let's get into match.
Oh,
one here.
You want to jump right in? All right, first match is.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Is Sophia Rose versus Ari Alexandra, and two of my favorite chicks in this whole show.
And
these two ladies.
And this match is really so. You know, I like wrestling. You've mm-hmm. loved wrestling your whole life.
I have.
So help me out here. Has this match where Sophia is basically building up Ari? Like Ari is kind of depressed, at her. She's like, I don't want to do it.
No, Ari's doing that because she's depressed.
Ari's sad.
I know, but as far as what Sophia's doing, no, I think it's more about building up the Sophia Rose character.
Well, and she builds up Ari. Like, she actually, like, encourages her and, like, shakes her hand at the start.
Again, it's not about Ari in her instance. I think it's all about building the Sophia Rose character. Like, she's, like, becoming the ultimate kind of good girl.
Yeah.
And Ari, as like you said, yeah, they're building her up, too, but they're playing up on this whole... Like, she's the sad girl.
She'll get her groove back at some
boo-hoo,
point.
And boo-hoo. But at some point, she's going to explode and start kicking ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But and
it's a build-up for both characters. OVW does a great job at building both characters.
Oh,
They just do.
I love the characters. Yeah, you know me. That's part of what I love about wrestling. And when I came here, that's what I found so
pleasant. Oh, yeah, you got to love the characters. I mean, obviously, in real life, none of these people... Most of them are exaggerated forms of themselves, which is one of another thing that's great about wrestling. It's like, you know, you just imagine if you can live your life multiplied by 10, like turn mm-hmm. yourself up. And that's what these people do, and I respect it. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so Ari does come away, or no, I'm sorry, Sophia comes away with a win with that split stunner.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I mean, she does the splits, and you think, there's no way that's a practical move.
No.
And then she does a stunner with it.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive looking, too.
And then afterwards, she picks Ari up and gives her a hug, mm-hmm. and just women helping women.
Again, building both characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
So, and then bout two is, oh, wow, this is a great match.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jay De Niro versus Shirka.
Is that how you say that?
I'm pretty sure. He is a Malaysian wrestling superstar.
Okay. I didn't know that before.
Yes, and he is also making his OVW debut. Oh, also, I forgot.
What did you forget?
Back in episode 9.
Nine.
that Jack Parker Jr. That match with Big Beef was his OVW debut as well. That was technically the first time he was on TV.
I thought I said that.
You may have. I may have missed it.
I think I did.
It was in the notes. So okay.
I think I said it because I said it when I said who was in the match.
Right. So yes, Sherkaw has come over from Malaysia.
Okay.
And is here to build up his name and has come in to do that, and he takes on someone who we have seen a lot of around OVW, but not seen in the ring very much, except to maybe interfere with stuff, that being our good friend Jay De Niro.
Jay De Niro. So, you know, one of the things I've noticed on them, they still call him Jay, but a lot of times when he comes out, like say when he comes out with Tony, they just put De Niro at the bottom of the screen. I don't know if anybody else noticed that, but. He looks much different here. He filled his beard out. Like before, he just had a goatee.
Right.
And the full beard makes him look a little more menacing, I think.
It does. Kind of an Undertaker-y look here, I think.
A little bit, yeah. I mean,
he's got the size.
You want to make that kind of man kind of towering because where he's so tall, it goes with the whole, like, you know, I'm going to step over you and basically whoop your ass.
Yeah, I guess the formal clothes, you know, because Undertaker's get-up was always kind of a gothically formal,
yeah,
but formal coat.
He always wore like a black, well, all black, obviously.
Because he was Undertaker.
Sure, but a button-down, especially in the early days, yeah. Yeah, he always, and that hat. But, no, Jay, I think it's all part of his, he's coming around. He's about to break out, you know?
Yeah, because he is getting, he's not mad at... he's not mad at Manny Domingo for Junta Peso anymore because
I suggest
Manny's
our
on
listeners
the
go and check out his interview with our Mean Gene, Brian Hines.
He does, yeah. He that's on
that
our socials
and
a full interview and a full interview's on our podcasting too.
You're up to you to tell people where to find it. I can just remember it.
Yeah. So he did a stand up interview on camera with Brian Hines a couple months ago. You can find that in our social media feeds, and then he was one of our earliest interviews. Like, he's interview 7 or 8. He's pretty early on.
Jay De Niro?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, outside of the interview that you guys did, which was always great, and I had a – because he came with somebody that day. I can't remember who it was.
It was T-W-3.
T-Dub, okay.
Yeah, we did both those interviews.
He came with T-Dub, so I hung out with him while y'all done the T-Dub interview, and he was a great conversationalist, and it was really cool to talk to him, and he told me about some of the stuff that went on in his past in Wisconsin. It was a great conversation.
Yeah, honestly, he is, you know, when we go up there on Thursday nights, often we hang out after the show a little while and kind of talk to some people. Jay is always the most, I mean, for what he does on in this ring, he is a great, hang.
He's a great guy, but boy, he is a menacing.
Yeah, I would not want to run into this character.
No. I mean, even in real life, he's kind of got that menacing look, but just as soon as he's one of those big boys, as soon as you talk to him, he'll smile, that's it.
You know. So in this match in particular, he's doing excellent. You know, the newcomer is losing badly until the veteran appears.
Well, I mean, who can blame him? I mean, Jay did hit him with the loaded baked potato glove.
Yes, the OVW's most deadly side dish.
Yeah.
So and as usual, if you focus on your enemy instead of the guy who's right in front of you, you're in a bad situation. So
you lose your concentration and
then you lose your match. And Shokat, I think it's Shokat. We'll work it out. Hopefully we'll see more of this guy. We will work it out. But he gets the win here.
Considering he got his OVW debut win against a man like Jay De Niro, I think we will see him again.
Absolutely. So, and a pretty great match, really. Then we have Brian Hines is another dude entirely.
I mean, what do we keep talking about Brian Hines for? I mean, that's probably because he's the best host, probably.
I mean, I'm agnostic.
So speaking about one of my favorite characters in all of TV right now is, well, no, actually, it's probably this guy right here.
Yeah, and Zachary D. Pittman III.
Yeah, he's excellent.
OVW photographer.
Yep, he's a photographer, and he's not even really associated with the OVW as a wrestler. And he did a pretty great little interview with Brian Kennison.
Yes, he does, and kind of is able to give some information on the first OVW superhero, Guardian of East Louisville, I guess. Super Z.
Of East Louisville. Are you kidding? He is the guardian of my great Commonwealth of Kentucky. Come on, get it straight. I mean, it's super Z.
Yes, he's always looking for his signal in the air. So he's busy, so he can't really be here.
No, he's not here, at least not today.
No.
I think I hear him, though. I think he's going to come this way.
Sooner or later, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, good interview here. Zach is a little nervous. He's not really used to being in front of cameras.
No. He's a little awkward, but that's okay. I love the guy. He's so great.
Brian is trying very hard to get to be Super B.
He is, and he keeps trying to bait him. But yeah. What are you going to bait Zachary for? I mean, he just knows.
Trying to get him to tell him who Super Z is.
He just knows Super Z.
Yeah, he's just his friend. He's like Jimmy Olsen.
Right. Yeah. You know, you don't.
He's like, you know, how Peter Parker always gets those good pictures of Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly. Just like that.
So, great interview. Hilarious.
Yeah.
As always, you know, Kinnison is always. And of course, at the end, Zach suddenly seems to see something in the sky and will run away quickly. So, there's that.
Oh, yeah. Well, nobody can see me, but I'll do it anyway. Super Z.
We release these videos. That thing is taping.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. We're on camera.
Do it again. Super Z.
So our main event for episode 10 is the future Will Austin versus the star of the show, Star Rider.
I think it's hilarious how they always say that he's from the parts unknown.
Well, that's where Super Z's from, too. Maybe they know each other. They both wear masks.
They might. That might make a good tag team at some point.
The Masked Man. But so
I will still say that OVW needs a luchador. Get a luchador, guys. Anyway, go ahead.
So, in this match, I wanted to get your thoughts specifically on, you know, this Will Austin thing. He's everywhere suddenly in the Rush division, and he is just, you know, last week he was talking about pulling the wings off of flies and how much, and was delighting in the fact that he put Manny Domingo out of work.
Yeah.
And we can't have Punta Peso right now.
Right.
We can blame that on him. How much do you think of this we can blame on Jackman for his Push Will Austin campaign?
Well, I have to say I joined him on the Push Will Austin campaign.
As did I at first.
I know. And I'm going to say kudos to Will. He's doing a great job at being demented.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't listen to Jackman too much. I mean, he can give me slack about having a thousands of dollars backpack. And I agree, I spent a couple $100s, not even that much, on a...
It's a very nice purse.
It's a very nice backpack. It is a backpack, and it kind of looks like a purse a little bit. But, you know, at least I don't wear a ladies' cardigan sweater, just saying.
Okay.
You know. But anyway, back to the match.
Ooh, so, yeah, this ended with a thing that I didn't realize was an actual thing.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, if you're not in a Rumble format match and you throw your opponent over the top rope to the floor, you're disqualified.
So my thing about that is a very old school kind of a NWA show before it became WCW back on the Ho Turner days. That was a rule back then. I don't remember as much on WWF because it wasn't as available as much on TV when we were children because they would have Saturday Night's Main Event, and that was about it.
Right.
And, of course, Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling. I mean, who could forget that?
Yeah, but that was animated.
That was animated. But, you know, you could turn into the Superstation Saturday nights at 6:05 and watch all the wrestling you wanted, you know, the Four Horsemen and all that stuff. Now, on that program, all the way leading up until the Monday Night Wars, the over-the-top thing was always a rule.
I've not even seen it happen that much outside of a Rumble format match in WWE. It's not like it happens all the time.
No, I don't think it's a rule in WWE even today because they throw each other over the top rope all the time. And I thought they did here, but maybe I've just gotten used to seeing it. See, he went over the top rope.
Yeah,
right
but
there.
He got like flung over.
I guess.
He jumped on his back, and then we get that. That's always fun.
Yeah, but I was surprised that, you know, Mr. Extreme himself, Al Snow, would, continue that rule. Because I think it's a little lame, but whatever.
It is certainly old school.
Then that was kind of my point. I didn't like the rule when I was a kid. That's probably why I say it's lame as a children's mindset. Because when I was a child, I was like, no, F that. I want to see who wins. So what? They threw each other top rope. That's what it was there for.
And a good match until that happened.
Oh, no. It's a great match. And, I think Star started getting the best of him a little bit, so
Will
kind of took care of that problem, as a good bad guy should do.
Yes, and then but then punched up, shoved a ref, and shoved another ref.
I forgot the word. I remember it. So Will Austin lately has been sadistic.
Sadistic. That's a good word.
That is my word for Will Austin. And, you know, I have to agree. Push Will Austin. Keep pushing Will Austin because he's killing it out there. He is a great wrestler.
But then, yeah, after the match, after he's disqualified, Will comes back and
gives him the old chop block.
Yeah, and then locks him up in the figure four for for like 25 minutes.
He does.
And like 15 people come out, like he pushes Daniel Spencer, pushes the ref for, that was assigned to this match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's $25,000 or something for all that. So
big money.
So yeah, here they come trying
here
to
they come, yeah.
And that's, just he won't unlock it, you know. And it's amazing how many people gather around, and he just keeps right on locking in with it. Look at that.
I know, and they're all standing around. No, well,
yeah. Now they finally break him up, and Daniel's able to kick him out.
Maybe you should have played some paper, rock, scissors or something.
So, yeah, he's definitely making waves in the Rush division.
He is.
He wears a shirt with his own face on it. So, for better or worse, that's a thing you can do.
Well, that is a little much, but why not? I've seen a lot of shirts with people's faces.
All right. Well, you have anything else you want to say about this double episode?
I mean, it's a double episode, and I'm not sure if we killed it as much as our cohorts do because they're definitely more professional at this as we are.
But we're enthusiastic.
We try our best, and hopefully we don't bore you to death. And I know I'm not crying, so please don't cry. Well, every day you should laugh, you should cry, and you should think. So, you know, have a good day.
The OVW Podcast, the 10th Carney Award-nominated unofficial podcast of Ohio Valley Wrestling, is produced by Blacklight Moon Productions at Nuthouse Studios in Lexington, Kentucky. The OVW Podcast broadcast team, who is not here, is still Jackman Oates and Brian Hines. Our studio engineer and editor is Malachi P.S. Woodard. Executive producer, that's me, Tiny Brian K. Woodard. And senior producer for The Blimp is Victor Anderson. After watching Wrestlers on Netflix, visit ovwpodcast.com/podcasters to find all episodes of our unofficial Wrestlers After Show. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, rate us 5 stars, and give us a review. You can also follow at OVWPodcast on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, X, TikTok, and all the way to the Davis Arena.
To the Davis Arena. Have a good night, folks.
See you later.